This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Another look at the housing market.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. In a few hours, we're going to get an important measurement of where the country's housing market might be headed. It's called the Case-Shiller Housing Index, and its release will tell us the direction of home prices at the end of September. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from our Washington Bureau. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So why is this morning's index watched so closely?
Well, remember, it was subprime mortgages that got us into this recession, and many economists say we won't get out of it until housing values stabilize. Case-Shiller is a broad measure of home prices in 20 cities. And after falling for nearly 3 years, those prices began to rebound just this past summer. But even with that, home values are down more than 10% from a year ago. And that's enough to put almost one in four homeowners underwater, meaning their mortgage is higher than the value of the property. And that's according to the Wall Street Journal, that got an early look at statistics from a California real estate information company.
Now, John, does that mean that mortgages, those mortgages you're talking about, are headed for foreclosure?
Well, definitely in that direction, especially with such high unemployment. At the very least, being underwater locks in a home buyer. You can't sell to take a new job somewhere else or downsize to another home, and it keeps prospective buyers out of the market. You don't want to buy a house when its value is still falling. In fact, those real estate statistics show that 11% of borrowers who took out mortgages this year already owe more than their home is worth.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. John, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Worldwide stocks are on the decline today. In Europe, markets are off across the board, a 0.5% or more. Stocks closed lower in Asia. The Chinese benchmark sank 3.5%. Wall Street, well, we talked about that Case-Shiller report coming out later. It was better than expected existing home sales that gave stocks a big boost yesterday. The S&P and NASDAQ each gained more than 1%. The Dow tacked on 132 points to close at 10,450. There is a major rush to get baby cribs with the drop-down sides off the market. That's after the Consumer Product Safety Commission announced a major recall yesterday. One public official on Long Island, New York, is so concerned about those cribs that he'll sign legislation today banning them from stores. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Wayne Horsley is a legislator in Suffolk County, New York. His bill will be signed into law today. It bans the sale of drop-down cribs in the county. Horsley sponsored the legislation after hearing horror stories from parents.
One of the couples that lost a child that spoke to me told me that they would rather have their baby in a cardboard box than to have them in a drop-side crib.
The Crib Manufacturers Trade Association says 20% of cribs sold in the U.S. have a drop-down side. The association says they're perfectly safe as long as they're assembled and maintained properly. But Allison Bhadracharya isn't taking any chances. She says her 8-month-old daughter will get a new crib if her current crib is recalled.
She has a tendency to kick and do all sorts of things, and my imagination could lead to the worst possible outcomes.
In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
To some people, Providian Financial offered financial freedom. To others, the company was a ticket to chronic debt. Providian was the first company to open up the credit card business to low-income, high-risk consumers. Shailesh Mehta was Providian's CEO for more than a dozen years. He's never spoken to the press about the company, but he agreed to talk with reporter Lowell Bergman for a Frontline documentary airing tonight on PBS.
I got a Visa Gold with a $1,000 credit line. People treat you differently when you have a gold card.
And with Providian, my credit just keeps getting better.
Visa from Providian. We approve.
Providian targeted riskier customers who had never before qualified for a credit card. Shailesh Mehta, the former CEO, says his goal was to provide all Americans with a credit card. In fact, as far as he was concerned, those least able to pay off their balance were the best customers.
So what you were going after were the people who weren't going to pay their bill off in full.
Or in full, yeah.
Right.
If we do so, then we will be attracting the profitable segment of the credit card industry.
Your hope was to keep them paying basically in perpetuity, right?
They
never wanted them to really pay it off.
If they make the minimum payment, yes, then that loan will take almost 20 years to pay back, absolutely.
And you make more money then?
We make more money.
Providian developed an array of tactics to lure customers, such as so-called free cards. These had no annual fee, but came with all kinds of stealth charges attached.
When people make the buying decision, they don't look at the penalty fees because they never believe they'll be late. They never believe they'll be over limit, right? So everybody increased the late fees. Everybody started increasing the over limit fees.
Last May, Congress passed legislation intended to end practices that deceive customers. But most of the new rules don't take effect until February. And then, Mehta says, card companies will find a way around them.
Bankers will figure it out to comply. As long as I'm in compliance with what the government says, it's none of anybody's business to tell me what to do. You know, and there are always some desperate people who will take the product. Lending money to people is never a difficult exercise. Okay, people will take money if you're willing to give them.
Mehta left Providian in 2001, but he's still pushing plastic. He's investing in the booming credit card industry in India. And here in America, he's shifted his attention to what he reckons is the next big thing, prepaid debit cards. I'm Lowell Bergman for Marketplace.
Bergman's documentary, The Card Game, airs tonight on Frontline on PBS. Check your local listings. And finally, we all know that when you're in a busy urban environment, finding a restroom can be a little stressful. But five new toilet ambassadors in New York's Times Square will be on the job this holiday season to make that experience fluster-free. They beat out hundreds of contestants vying for the welcoming jobs at the Times Square Charmin Bathrooms, named for the toilet paper company that sets it up each year. Over 6 weeks, the ambassadors will collect $10,000 each for greeting and talking with visitors to those facilities. And they'll be tweeting and Facebook messaging their experiences online, and making sure no one walks out dragging toilet paper on their shoes. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.